The 5 p.m. hour of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt. If you missed any of that first hour and you missed any of the show today, go listen back in podcast format, commercial free, on Apple, Spotify, where you get your podcasts, all those great places. You can also watch us back on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN South Florida and ESPN West Palm. Christian Catt is our producer behind the glass today. The 5 p.m. hour presented by Goo Creek Moving and Storage. Christian, welcome in. Did you play a little golf this weekend, perhaps with the Kaiser guys, getting you up to form and in shape?
I played on Thursday. It's my last lesson. And then I played early on Sunday morning. Was fortunate enough to get 18 holes in before that atrocious NFL slate began.
Awful.
I wish I golfed one good game,
and it was a Jet game.
Yeah, I wish I played all 36 holes and never watched an ounce of football. I would have been better off. But I did play in Boca Raton at one of the public courses, and I had one of the most embarrassing moments of my golf career. And I'll tell you, I played pretty well in Boca. I'll tell you what the embarrassing situation was after. I tell you that the Kaiser Golf Center is the best place around to improve your golf game. They have the best facilities, tools, and coaching that you need. You can improve your game fast at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. It's right off of I-95 in the Turnpike in West Palm Beach on South Military Trail. They have the indoor swing area where you can get the video replay analysis on your swing and get the numbers around what the ball is doing when you hit it to see how you can take spin off, get more spin on, whatever you're trying to accomplish. Kaiser can do that inside. And of course, they've got their world-class driving range. They've got the world-class chipping, putting, and practice bunkers outside. It is incredible, a facility like no other. Make sure you go to KaiserGolfCenter.com, KaiserGolfCenter.com, to schedule your lessons today, because I have shrunk my handicap by nearly double digits since I began with the Kaiser Golf Center. I'm working on my fairway bunker shots on Thursday. Looking forward to that lesson coming up later on this week.
So how'd you embarrass yourself playing over the weekend?
So I am a notorious single golfer. You know, my schedule does not match up with people where I can repeatedly meet at the same time next week. So I'm always dropping in, added to different twosomes or paired up with another
single.
Killing
everybody else's vibe because you're the,
pretty
you're the
much,
random.
Yeah. You know, or I meet a friend. Like I met Andrew last week over in Lake Worth. This time it was me, another single, and a pair. All three of the other guys were walking. And I never walk the course. I get the card every single time possible.
Oh, so God,
that already is a little bit of a rift in the group. You know, I'm speeding around. I'm on a different time scale as they are. But we're on the first tee box.
You're waiting for them, right? Anyway?
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of whiz around and I look for their ball for them.
Doing donuts.
Exactly, point
doing,
down.
Doing like, donuts on the fairway.
Pretty much. Like, I really, it is a discombobulated golf foursome when someone's in a cart, someone's not. On the first par four, I just hook my 3-wood left. It goes into a hazard. And it's hazards like trees and stuff. That ball's gone. There's no chance. So I go drop around there. And I just had a lesson on a 3-wood. That one I hit off the tee, not very good. But I have the same yardage in, so I want to hit my 3-wood again. And I'm worried about my swing. I'm also worried about the guys that I'm paired with. They're behind me. And we're playing ready golf, so you don't wait until the person who's furthest away goes. No, whoever's ready first gets to go. I'm worried about that timing. I'm worried about my swing. I'm in my own world here. And I take a swing. Pure it. Beautiful ball. It's going towards the green. And while I'm following this ball go up the fairway, I realize the group in front of us is still on the green. And I did the biggest bleep hole move of all time, hitting into the group ahead of you on the first hole.
It hit the green?
Yeah. It was a beautiful shot.
So
it was
you
incredible.
Landed on the green. What had the previous group who was ahead of you
they
already
throw it
putting.
Back at you?
And what'd they do?
I didn't give them a chance to act angry because I was like apologizing while the ball was still in the air because I realized what was about to happen.
You screaming.
Like, oh, so, yeah. No! Oh, sorry!
Wow.
Sorry. Oh my gosh. This is my first impression.
Were you close to hitting anybody?
It was low, so it would have like hit someone's ball or hit off their shoe.
Okay.
So like it wasn't really that dangerous. It was just incredibly disrespectful.
Breaking an unspoken rule.
Oh, it is the worst thing you can do on a golf course is hit into the people ahead of you, especially on the first hole. because
that was the first
no,
hole of the game of the day.
Yeah, he's setting the tone. Yeah,
exactly, setting like the tone. That. I'm seeing like the that. Side eye from the group that I'm
my
with.
Mind. I like this. This guy's like, oh gosh, he's a wild card. He's a trailblazer. We got to stay away from him. Yeah, don't God, get
these, guys, these guys are pretty good behind us. Huh?
Yeah, because sometimes you will grow tired of maybe a slower group ahead of you, and that'll happen sometimes. You get impatient, but the group in front of us gave us no reason to feel any way at all, apart from me. Guy in the cart all by himself, just an absolute jerk.
Guy in the chair.
Yeah. That was really embarrassing. I drove up before everyone else hit to apologize
it's
to the group.
It's funny because everybody else is walking up, and then you have to get in your golf cart and drive it around up to the green.
What'd they say to you?
It almost went in the hole. They were super nice. Thankfully, they did not take it the wrong way. Good. Apparently, I almost had a birdie from 200 yards away, but that would have been cool. Yeah.
I get it.
Wow.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You live and you learn.
I know.
And I like that, though. Setting the tone.
Yeah.
You got to do something that nobody expects on that first hole because then nobody's going
to
mess with you.
No, but then they have 3.5 hours. They got to strap to a psycho, and he's there
like,
the entire
time. The guy's standing
You'd
over
rather
his,
be the psycho on, than be
it's
have
true.
The psycho
the guy,
in the group.
One of the guys Christian hit into, he's standing over his putt. God, is that guy gunning for me?
Like, yeah.
Is he in the fairway?
One thing, you're going to speed up that group. They probably played a lot
exactly
faster.
Did. That's why I said
they
you
probably
set the
played
tone.
A lot faster.
You, no, I was not thinking any of the pros that you guys are bringing up. I was only thinking of complete and total embarrassment. I showed it to, like, I put my head on the steering wheel of the golf cart, like I just committed murder. I made sure that they knew that I felt
you
bad.
You felt horrible. Now, you mentioned to me too, Christian, that something happened at Publix today. What happened at the local grocery store?
Yeah, no, theoretically speaking today. So I had 2 hours that I never have. I absolutely never have these hours off. I never have this time at my disposal.
Started to roam, huh?
So I can eat lunch.
Oh, okay.
Like a foreign concept for me. I usually go iced coffee.
I'm not a lunch guy either.
I usually go iced coffee on the way into work. I scavenge the kitchen to maybe some food's dropped off or someone doesn't want to eat their wrap or whatever.
Oh, God. You're a raccoon.
Yeah. But maybe sometimes Slim Pickens, and I wait all the way till dinner till I have my first meal, except for today, where I walked across the street. Got a chicken tender sub, and while I'm putting together this really basic run-of-the-mill chicken tender sub, chop up the chicken tenders, the Chipotle Gouda cheese, buffalo sauce, and ranch, the sandwich artist puts it together.
Okay.
And after it comes out of the toaster or the oven or whatever it is, she puts it down, looks down, and pauses. A real pregnant pause. Like, are you okay? She looks at me and goes, this looks really good. Now it's like, yeah, I know.
She's licking her lips. Like, yeah.
No, I felt
it.
You know,
made it the right way.
That's probably the best.
I missed lunch too.
That's the best compliment someone can pay you at a deli or at a sandwich shop is you.
If she's eyeing up the sandwich, like, eyes off that. That's my sandwich. Make your own.
But think about this. She has made sandwiches for the past so on use. Years, because she has been here ever since we moved
Why
in.
Why do you need her approval for your sandwich that you know that you're going to like?
Because if someone knows a good sandwich, it's a professional sandwich maker.
Hey, that's true. Yeah.
She's been putting together sandwiches for the past 3 hours, and mine sticks out so much with a line behind me.
You just told us the sandwich does not stick out. It is a chicken tenders, Gouda, chicken, ranch, and hot sauce.
Very bland from the sounds of it.
I don't know, but you've seen...
You got a meatball sub, but with chicken tenders instead.
Christian, this is like me saying I was elite at racing race cars, right?
How so?
Because, you know, aren't they always going to tell you that to keep you coming back? Aren't they always going to tell you that to keep you coming back?
And buttering me up a little bit?
That's a good point. They're trying to build a new customer, though. We haven't seen this guy between the 2 to 3 p.m. hour like we usually do.
So it's like...
So I'm going to compliment this guy's cheese and chicken tender sandwich.
Yes, at the Gentleman's Club, it's a girl who says, wow, you're so attractive. You're not like other guys. Where this was a sandwich artist saying, wow... You know how to put together a sandwich.
Yeah.
Are you a professional sandwich orderer?
I would be more fan. I'm like, hey, eyes off the sandwich. It's my sandwich. No. You know what I mean?
We made eye contact, me and that woman.
You would have taken offense?
At a moment?
Hang on.
That's best compliment you can give to a paying customer. You know how to put together a good sandwich.
You would have taken offense to someone saying your sandwich
is good? No, not offense, but like, hey. Eyes off. Like, you know, this is my sandwich. Like, I'm excited to eat this. I don't need you to be excited to eat
you
this.
You don't need their approval?
No.
I do need their approval. Because I went to a different sandwich shop, not a chain
shop.
And
the guy said, this looks like it sucks?
I ordered it online. And this is a newer place that opened. I think they have bugs in their system that lets you customize this sandwich a lot more than you probably should.
Okay.
So I accidentally put oil and vinegar on a buffalo chicken sandwich. Kind of slimmer thing. And he pulls the receipt and he walks up to me when I walk in the door. He's like, order for Christian? I go, yeah. He goes, are you sure you want that? And I've never, like, no, why would I ever? No. Yeah, he second guessed my order.
Did you double down?
No, I completely folded.
So you're like, give me a new sandwich?
He didn't put it on the sandwich yet. So like he was about to put it together. Hey, he showed me the receipt.
Well, unless that's how you get whatever sandwich you have with the oil and vinegar?
I have a sandwich identity crisis. You know, like
Buffalo
I can get bullied.
Oil vinegar. What?
I just like the base. I like it gets soaked up in the red. I did get embarrassed for getting second guess.
You changed your sandwich order because of the guy who makes the sandwich.
It was the owner.
He looks at his
owner.
Goes,
I don't care.
Again, if someone's going to know a good sandwich, it would be the lady across the street, and it'd be the owner of the sandwich shop.
He probably looked down, looked at Christian, and goes, sure you want this.
Yeah.
And Christian probably sat on it melted. For like five.
I'm blown away by this. Why do you need the approval of the sandwich guy?
Christian probably sat on it for 5 seconds and goes, No. Let's.
Total mistake. I thought it was an Italian sub. I mixed up the few orders. We'll laugh about this one day. Yeah, I completely melted. I folded any two of the ways. I did not stick to my guns at all.
Wow.
Never considered sticking to my guns, to be honest.
Is this my lunch or yours? Like, I mean, just am I eating this or are you eating this? Like, I don't understand.
Right.
I don't need your approval. Are you get like this with sandwich people?
No.
Oh, I need their approval.
They want to make a sandwich.
You want to know? I have a similar thing. It's Chipotle. You want that much rice? Yep.
Oh, if someone said that to me, I think I'd walk out the door.
Really?
Yeah.
If someone second guessed
my Tex-Mex bowl.
Double wrap chicken burrito.
You have a heinous, heinous Chipotle order.
Double wrap chicken burrito with extra white rice. One scoop. Can I have more? One scoop. Like half of a scoop.
They have like a caution red button underneath the table and they're pressing it.
You sure you want that much? You sure you want that much?
Like a red flag.
They go. You sure?
It's like what the bank tellers have at the bank during a heist. They're pressing the button.
They go.
Call the fire department.
You sure you want that much? Yeah, it's only the third time I've asked for more rice, please. Put it on there.
Yeah, I think you're the ridiculous one in the situation, though.
No, dude. When's the last time you went to a Chipotle? The serving sizes have become incredibly stingy.
Yeah,
incredibly stingy.
And that's in person. If you get delivery, who say sayonara?
Yeah, correct. You're eating a fifth of a burrito. All right.
If I worked I never worked at a service sandwich place or anything like that, or a service food
more,
place.
More, Colin.
Making comments to get into the heads of the customers would be an underrated feat of the job.
Banana peppers, huh?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see.
I would never eat this.
Good. It's not for you.
You start quite literally yucking
news,
somebody's
lunch,
yum.
You're
like, ew.
And you're just kind of just like surprised at every ingredient that they're adding to this
mayo
sandwich.
And Italian
that would
dressing,
ruin
huh?
Christian's day.
Oh, my God.
He would not even be hungry anymore. That'd be fascinating.
Passive aggressive comments
this
from the person.
Sandwich? You know, I would never eat this.
Sure you want that much? Sure you want that much? Yeah, it's only the third time.
You can't say
time.
That. You can't say that.
I'm like, yes,
you can't say
please.
You sure you want that much.
Please.
That's just, you know.
I'm pleased, thank you. You've been out with
portion,
me. It's like, dude, yeah.
Portions are different than combination of ingredients.
But that, yeah.
That's
but,
where the judgmental comes into my head. Okay, whatever. Maybe I'm not hungry. Maybe I am hungry. You don't know if I'm going to split this bowl in half. Portions or whatever. But when you criticize me wanting to put oil and vinegar on a buffalo chicken sandwich, then I completely checkmate. You got me. Like, you are the alpha in the situation.
Isn't there something special about delicious food and like a show you're watching, your favorite show you're watching? You're just munching down and watching some show that you love. I don't know.
No, continue.
Is that just me?
I want to pull on the string more. What else you got?
How often do you get clearly Chipotle for you, right?
Well, yeah, but it's like, you know, it's like on the weekend. Like for me, it's Sunday, like watching NFL football or watching Kyle, I had a delicious, like I told you, I left over Chinese food from Boca yesterday. And I threw on one of the Bond movies, which is stuffing my face with noodles, sitting there happy as a clam. Is that only me who gets satisfying watching something that they're really stuffing their face?
I do think we all, yeah.
Yeah, I think watching something while eating good food is a consensus good thing.
Amazing. I would start changing my customers' orders. You know, like Christian, you know, Christian will change his order if he gets the impression that the person making the sandwich does not like it himself.
I'm met with a challenge. Yeah.
Like, listen, instead of the lettuce and tomato, I would do olives and banana. And I could just like, you know, just put a weird ingredients into your thing just so you get pressured into accepting it.
So I don't know if you're familiar familiar with Bob Does Sports. His name's Robbie Berger. He lives up in Jupiter.
Okay, yes,
and
I'm familiar.
He gets he goes to the, like a breakfast spot and a bagel spot, and he'll order like what he wants, and the guy will just won't give him what he orders, and then laughs in his face, and then he just takes it. He's like, he just.
I'm not gonna fight this battle.
Yeah, he'll ask for like the lox spread on a plain bagel, and then he'll just give him the whitefish. And he does it's not cool. win the battle. He it's just takes cool. what he gives him. He's been doing this for weeks.
Starting your day with F45 really kind of turns your day around. Start it with a win. Get up at 4:30 in the morning. Go to a 5:30 class. They have classes all throughout the mornings, all throughout the evenings. It's class style. So you show up. It's 45 minutes in and out. You blink and it's over. You get two coaches on site making sure you're doing everything properly. It's functional. So you're working on mobility. You're working on actual functional strength. You're trying to get your cardio up. Get your heart rate raised. Get a sweat going. Feel good about the rest of your day. That's all the stuff that you could do at F45. Train for something like High Rocks. Go get started today. Check out their Instagram, F45 Downtown West Palm Beach. What we will do is we will take a timeout and go to the 5 and 5 on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Like a brother. Treat you like a friend. Respect you like a
lover. Oh, 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 oh. Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Well, if you're an athlete trying to get your life together, you got to understand that not only is it just 20% the physical activity, getting up in the morning, getting up at 4:30, going to the gym, 80% of it is going nutrition. You got to understand what you're putting into your body to really start seeing results. That's where Vitacost Sports Certified Marketplace comes in. Built for athletes, people that are fitness enthusiasts, want to get more out of what they're doing in the gym. What does this mean? Whether you're prepping for a triathlon, you're grinding at the gym, just try to be a little more health conscious. Vitacost is your go-to for leveling up your game physically, mentally, spiritually, you name it. Their Sports Certified Marketplace is over 400 performance-enhancing supplements that are all certified, which means that they're free of any banned substances that help you level up your game. Visit Vitacost.com/sport-certified to make your purchase today. That's Vitacost.com/sport-certified to make your purchase today. Use code ESPN20 for 20% off. Level up your game at Vitacost. Let's get to it. The 5-5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, Big Ten.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number 1.
Well, it was a downright garbage NFL Sunday yesterday in week 8 of the NFL season. Which result surprised you the much?
The biggest surprise, honestly, was Miami playing as well as they did.
It was.
But you got to give the Jets a lot of credit. The Jets were down 15 points. They were down 31-16. The offense actually looked not just like good, okay. It looked really good in that second half. And especially in that fourth quarter. They were going right down the field. They were able to score. They were getting creative with play calls. Justin Fields played well. And you got to feel for Justin Fields. Listen, I don't think Justin Fields is any good. I really don't. I don't think he has any sort of future as a starter. I think he'd be a good, viable backup. But how he handled that post-game interview, especially with what Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, said about Fields publicly.
He was crying. Dude.
He said he went post-game and he said, yeah. He's like, you know what? I was crying in my closet just praying. He did say that. He said he was getting vulnerable. That's the type of leader that the Jets are going to respect. That's honestly a big thing that the Jets need because it gets a little bit of the spotlight away from Glenn. Give a lot of credit to the Jets. You know, they stink, but that was the type of win that really helps them out.
And you can maybe think this is overrated, but I know it was his first win. Maybe they do this with all the coaches, but like it seems like they really like Glenn. It seems genuine. Like that picture at the end of the game with them lifting him up in the locker room. It seems like he really is really trying to get the best out of this group. It just hasn't really went their way. I was happy to actually see them get a win. I thought they saved the 1 o'clock slate. It was a horrible slate.
It was a horrible day.
It was a horrible 1 o'clock slate.
It didn't save the slate. It was the only thing good about the slate.
There you go. You know? But at this, like I say save the slate because it was the only thing good. So like I think we're splitting hairs on that. But at the same time, I feel for anyone who had the Bengals in Survivor. It's a brutal way to lose. I know our Christian had the Falcons. We were able to switch to the Patriots on Saturday. So
I had
we
the
are.
Eagles. I had the Eagles.
Yeah, you had the Eagles. By the way, miserable officiating in that game. Some of the worst
officiating. I don't think it killed the game, but it was amazing.
It was
a massive call on that. Let me tell you one thing, too. That tush push is not coming back. There is no way with all this scuff that it is coming back.
I maybe have complained about officiating on these airwaves in my 3 years at ESPN West Palm two or three times, and this will be the third or fourth time. I couldn't believe my eyes. I had absolutely no money on that game. I had no invested interest in that game, but anybody could take a look at four calls in the Giants-Eagles game that turned a competitive game into a blowout Eagles win.
I lost interest. To Christian's point, I lost interest.
I mean, they called back a touchdown on an OPI where they were hand fighting. They had that awful, awful tush-push play where they actually were able to get secure a fumble of Jalen Hurts, and they called it dead on forward momentum. And it was one of the most bizarre play call dead early plays you've ever seen in your entire life.
I am so happy that Giants head coach Brian Daboll, he was told by the officials, and the officials went up and told America and told the stadium on the mic, we have told the New York Giants that forward progress is not reviewable. So what did Brian Daboll do? He threw the red flag anyway. He didn't care. He said, no, you're going to have to take a look and watch how bad of a call that you made, because the whistle wasn't blown until the ball was 6 feet away from Jalen Hurts in the offensive backfield.
After about the third one, my you know, cousin Mike, Uncle Mark, they look at me, they go, we're done with that game. Because we were multi-screen. We had red zone, and like that was the big game. I wanted to watch a lot of that game. I turned it off. I was done. I was disgusted with it.
And you pair the officiating with the sadness of Cam Scataboo getting hurt on the following possession of the tush-push fumble that wasn't called a fumble. Oh, sad.
Yeah. Now, the Giant defense could not get a stop for the life of them. They couldn't get a stop. They could not stop. Without A.J. Brown, the rushing attack absolutely shredded that Giant defense.
Who knew all Saquon Barkley needed to do was to terrorize the Giants to get back on track? Another game I was really disappointed in was Ravens and Bears. That was an unwatchable product. With all due respect to Tyler Huntley, I give him a lot of credit for being able to, you know, pull a cat out of the hat.
Classic Bear game where they came out, the first drive of the game was excellent, and then the rest of the game they couldn't do anything until that second half. I don't know if you saw the end of that game, but they had that DeAndre Hopkins first down conversion on third with about 2 minutes, 40 seconds to go. It basically ended the game. And what ended up happening is they ended up scoring and making it a two-possession game. It was a seven-point game. DeAndre Hopkins had this blatant offensive pass interference, face mask, everything, to even the point where I believe it was, I want to say, Steratore, whoever the guy was on the broadcast, saying that was blatant. He face masked, that could have been a call, and then he also OPI'd. It changed the game for the Bears. Now, should the Bears have won that game? No. Did it keep the Ravens alive? Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the Ravens are probably the biggest winners of this whole week because the Bengals lost and the Steelers lost.
Yeah.
But I think there's a path for them, and they have the Dolphins on Thursday.
Once again, the favorites to win the division.
And I wouldn't deny it. You should take a look at their next four games. Tell me they won't go 4-0.
I think the 4 o'clock slate was one of the worst slates I've watched in
that was the first That was the first slate all year
Boys, quickly on this, because the Buccaneers, dude, the Bucs are, that offense is broken. They're lucky they played the Saints. They're beaten up. Dude, Baker, and granted, maybe this is my fantasy anger coming into here. Baker threw for 150 yards and he won by 20 points. That's how bad New Orleans played in that game. They played bad. Spencer Rattler is awful. And then how about Shook coming in there and his first pass is a completion, but Butterfingers, it's going the other way. That team is a nightmare. I almost said poor Kellen Moore, but it's year one. We'll give him a chance.
He's okay. That's okay.
Wow.
That's not his. He doesn't have a quarterback. That's not his.
Cowboys should be ashamed of themselves. The Titans are the worst team in the NFL.
Good win for Denver. Good win for Denver. Denver needed that. They needed the four-quarter game.
Would you agree with me, though? And then I'm moving on to the Colt game.
We'll get into all these games.
I think the Titans that's the worst team in the NFL.
Here's the thing. You know what's funny? We just went through about four teams where you just went, this is one of the worst teams in the league. That's what the theme of the NFL is. There are a lot of terrible teams. Terrible. The Raiders are terrible. Titans are terrible.
They're not even trying to hide it either.
Right. The Saints are terrible.
They're not even
trying to hide it. The Jets are awful. The Dolphins are awful. There are a lot of really, really, really...
Don't forget about the Clowns.
Bad teams. What do we got next?
Who are the Clowns?
Number three.
The team that should be playing the third string quarterback at this point.
Maybe you move on from Gabriel. I agree with that.
God, man. You guys see how awful he was in that game? Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I saw he had the safety on the intentional grounding.
I mean, he threw jackpot. You know, my favorite interception in the league is jackpot, dead or alive. Like, just threw it into quadruple coverage. And then Stefanski has the gall to go, yeah, we're going to start Dylan coming out of the bye. Go to hell. I can't wait to clean house. Barry, that's Stefanski. Get him out.
Really good football game from Saturday's action took place in Norman, Oklahoma, where Lane Kiffin got his biggest road win of his collegiate career. With a win over the Sooners, here is Lane Kiffin speaking with the TV broadcast after the final whistle.
Coach Kiffin.
A little quieter now than before.
Oh, are you talking a little bit to Oklahoma's players?
This guy yelled at me like during the game like five times how great they were, and we can't score on them.
And then what happened? Dropped 34. Do you love Lane Kiffin as a coach, or is it a little bit tired and played out?
Well, you've heard all the stories about him with FAU and all the places he's been. Lane's a journeyman. It's cool to see that he's finally seeing some sustained success at one spot in Ole Miss. To Mike's point, I know we said it earlier in the show, how he could be a legend there.
He could stay there.
He could be the Ole Miss guy if he decides to hang around. Think about the rest of the year. They have Florida, which was their worst game of the year last year, which knocked them. They're not losing that game again, and it's at home. That's in a couple weeks. They have South Carolina at home coming off a terrible loss to Alabama. They have Mississippi State, obviously, which is going to be a tough game at the last game of the year. Outside of that, the Citadel. That team can win every game the rest of the year. They can win every game. That could be enough. Really quickly, an 11-1 postseason. That will probably, I mean, it might not put, I don't know how it works with the head-to-heads, but it might not put them in the SEC championship game. It will assuredly put them in the postseason. If I had to make a guess, Ole Miss, A&M, Alabama, Georgia. Those are your four SEC teams that get in. If I had to make a guess today, those four. And here's the thing. Tennessee only has two losses. Vanderbilt only has one loss. Vanderbilt still has tough games that they've had the Missouri win. They have Tennessee at the end of the year. There's tough games on the schedule for them. But those four are definitely going
to
get in.
He needs to stay at Ole Miss. He's tinkered around. He's bounced around to too many places and not had success. Stay at the place that you have success at. I would like to see them in the playoffs. Now, you want to know where my brain's wrapped around? The Citadel, a fortress, typically on high ground, protecting or dominating a city.
Definition of a citadel?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
That's where my mind went. I can't wait for them to get rid of that game. Now, the SEC is a gauntlet. I get that. There are good teams all over the place. No reason to be playing the Citadel the second to last week of the college football season.
It's going
to
be done after this year.
And a fortress typically on high ground protecting or dominating a city.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, one catapult and that thing's going to come crashing down. We need to change the name.
It's a military academy to you, pal.
Are we number three?
Am I dead wrong there?
Yeah.
Of course.
Number
four. We love our troops on Russo and Rizzo.
You got World Series Game 3 tonight, all square at one game apiece as the action returns to Los Angeles. Mike, you were pretty steadfast in that the Blue Jays needed to win both at home to have any chance in this series. Do you still believe that now that it truly is 1-1, 3 in L.A. up?
My saving grace is that they got after Blake Snell, and they had a 9-run inning. What did I tell you guys about
game one?
Correct. But what did I tell you guys about when during the ALCS? I want the Blue Jays because they could hit. They can maybe win a couple of games when they score. The problem is Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the Japanese flamethrower, went complete game shutout for the second time.
Not shutout, one run.
Sorry. And not to mention, too, they're going to have Ohtani, and they're still deep. I still see this as a 5-game series.
This is where the Dodgers pull ahead.
I really do.
This is the
it's
plan.
A five, it's
they have Glasnow and Ohtani going against Scherzer and Bieber. Yes, 5 years ago would have been, oh, wow, Scherzer and Bieber. Bieber hasn't pitched well in the postseason comparatively. And Scherzer, you know, was fun in the game against the Mariners, but was also, you know, give you four innings. Not going to give you anything more than that. His arm's going to go out. He's 40 years old. This is where the Dodgers, they like where they're at because they could pull ahead here.
Yeah.
And it was, you know what the funny part is? Gausman was pitching a gem through 7 innings yesterday, and then it wasn't Freeman, it wasn't Ohtani, it wasn't Betts, who was it? Will Smith, Max Muncy. That's who killed the game.
Yep.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he was still on the Dodgers. Max Muncy. It's the most home runs in Dodger history in the postseason, excuse me. That's nuts.
Kike,
shows how deep
Muncy,
they are.
And Will Smith. That's who killed the Blue Jays
and
in game two.
Christian, I'm
that's
gonna
all you need to know.
I'm going to say consistent. I said Dodgers in five. I'm sticking with it.
When I see this barrage and this avalanche of runs from the Blue Jays, it just makes me feel like that can be repeatable.
I don't disagree with that.
And I just feel like, and it's baseball, these sample sizes, and if they played what I want to be a 13-game World Series, it would be Dodgers. But just get hot, you know?
13 games, Chris. We're going to be playing a series for 2 months.
Glasnow's a head case.
Yeah.
So you'll see if they can get to anybody. Might be Glasnow. Now, if he's on, it's going to be a long day.
$25 million pitcher.
But that is somebody who mentally, I don't know if he'll be able to deal with the long at-bats, the difficult at-bats. We'll get into the game a little later on. That difficult at-bats that the Blue Jays give you, we'll see if he does. But if you could get to him, I don't think you're going to do the same to Ohtani. Where are we at, number five?
Number five.
Well, Colin and Mike, came into the office today steaming hot and angry about overplayed songs in today's society, one of which, Enter Sandman, second of which, Thunderstruck by AC/DC. If you couldn't pick those two songs, which are fresh in your mind because of today's golf outing down at Trump National Doral, what are some more overplayed songs in the year 2025?
I don't know if Mike's heard it enough. It is overplayed, and I actually think this is a good song, so it hasn't necessarily soured my head yet. Pink Pony Club by Chappell Roan.
I'm done with that. That was going to be my answer.
Has it? Hold on.
I'm done with
that. That's a good song.
So dumb.
I think people get the wrong idea of that. I think people hate that song because it's overplayed. That's a good song. I think that's a rare one that I like. That's played. That song is played everywhere.
It's so funny because
that song is played everywhere.
I heard it for like the first time a month ago, and then we were at our golf outing, the Boca Bowl golf outing.
Sure.
And it comes on. I go, wait a minute. This isn't that song, is it? And sure enough, it was the Pink Pony Club. God, Christian.
I don't mind Pink Pony Club.
I ask a song.
I never really. Who made it their anthem? Their team anthem? Was it the Mets?
What is the Pink
Not
Pony?
Not this
club?
Year.
Can I answer? What is?
It's.
What
I'm pretty sure it's a gentleman's club.
Is it a strip club?
Yes. I don't think so.
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was like an empowerment song.
Yeah, about the woman that works in the establishment.
Is it not?
It's a strip club song, right?
This is not a strip club song.
I think it is. I'm with Christian.
I thought this was a
power.
Hold on.
I'm a little sick of it.
It is.
We're boys and girls.
I'm not saying it's an awful song.
This is like boys. This is an empowerment song.
I think you're dead.
I'm leaving Tennessee to go to Santa Monica.
Yeah, she's got a new job,
brother. To do what?
At a strip club?
Correct.
No. What did she say here? What have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, no!
Yeah, brother, it's a strip club song. Free play, dude. You know, it's...
No!
I'm not,
got a good beat to it.
Christian.
This is a strip club song?
Yes.
It is the Edmonton Oilers made it their team song after beating And the Panthers made fun of them for it.
It's right in the lyrics.
It's a little OP.
Just hidden right in plain sight.
Right there.
It's a little OP, but I could do it.
So
Mike,
what's
it? I could do it. But
I like the song a little less now.
I'm done with that.
I told you that was off the table.
What was that?
I don't care. It's not off the table. Going back to Brown pregames in the Muni lot and Boomer's just playing that over and over.
The song, Kendrick Lamar's song that he made against Drake.
Oh, yes. That's annoying.
What is that one song? Not Like Us? Not Like Us?
Dude, can I?
That one's ridiculous. Dude, we need to stop on that.
Listen, if you like Kendrick Lamar over Drake, I kind of think you're lying to yourself a little bit.
I'm with you. Drake's got so many better songs.
Good Drake songs than Kendrick Lamar.
Drake stuffs Kendrick in the locker.
Him at the Super Bowl, so give me a break. All right, is Drake a perfect human being? Probably not. But I would argue Kendrick Lamar isn't either. Spare me on the Kendrick better.
That was 5-5% of my flag.
Spare me on that.
All right.
Let's compare their music, because I think it's a dog walk sweep. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's not a dog walk something. It's not even close.
All right, that was 5-5. We'll do the game plan to greatness on the other side of things. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Men, games aren't won on Friday night. They're won Monday through Thursday.
You find out life's a game of inches.
It's about preparation. It's about discipline. And it's about showing up ready to dominate.
That's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Yeah!
And now, your game plan for greatness. Brought to you by Men's Only Medical. Visit mensonlymedical.com.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go play some football. Let's go, man.
Game plan for greatness presented by my great friend Doc L and Men's Only Medical on North Dixie Highway. My game plan for greatness with Doc L and North Dixie at Men's Only Medical, preventative. Preventative and nutrition and weight management. I'm doing a great job with Doc Al on my plan at Men's Only Medical. Go get your plan, North Dixie Highway. You can visit them online too, mensonlymedical.com. Well, game plan for greatness, where we go through the Monday Night Football game and come up for a game plan for said team, either the Chiefs or the Commanders, to win the football game. I'm going to focus on the Chiefs here because I was a big, big, big fan of the Chiefs when we did our power rankings earlier in the week. I wanted the Chiefs to be darn near top two, top three. We ended up putting them at four. But the game plan for greatness, I think, with the Chiefs tonight, dude, keep up whatever the heck they've been doing with Pat. Mahomes looks like the Patrick Mahomes of 3-4 years ago. Not the Patrick Mahomes where me and Christian were complaining about before the season of, no, he rarely throws for multiple touchdowns anymore. He rarely throws under 250 yards in games. Mahomes on the year, 1,800 passing yards, 14 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. So my game plan for greatness with the Chiefs, it's simple, Kyle. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, keep it up. Keep it up. I know last week they demolished the Raiders. Congratulations. But the week before that, they played very well against the Lions, who we are very high on still. Kyle, Chiefs, Mahomes, Reed, keep it up. My game plan for greatness for Kansas City.
Yeah, you look at the Chiefs and you know they got two offensive linemen down. Josh Simmons, the former Ohio State Buckeye, he's not going to be out today, I believe for personal reasons. Trey Smith likely not going to play, another crucial offensive piece on that line. All right, if they're going to be down a couple pieces on the offensive line, then there's one way and one way only to beat Mahomes. Make him uncomfortable. If you're the Washington Commanders without Jaden Daniels, you're not going to outscore them. You got to muddy it up. Control the time of possession. You got Marcus Mariota, who knows how to win a football game. You could run the ball. You have both your receivers healthy. You got to make sure that Marcus Mariota, number one, don't fall behind the sticks. Control the tempo of play and get to Mahomes. If they don't get to Mahomes and they don't knock him on his fanny throughout the game, then you're not going to win because you're not going to outscore them. I have a hard time seeing this being a 42-38 shootout. If you are the Commanders, you need to make this a 17-15 ball game. If you can do it like that and, surprise them here and there with a couple key drives, you have a chance. I actually think you have a chance in this game. I can see the Commanders playing pretty well here. I really do. Sitting at 3-4, coming off a bad loss, I have a hard time seeing the Commanders, a well-coached team, go two bad losses in a row. So that's where my eyes fall in terms of the Washington Commanders tonight in our game plan for greatness for Monday night.
Put him on his fanny.
Put him on his fanny. That's what the Buccaneers did. That's how they beat him in the Super Bowl. Eagles, yeah, put him on his correct. Fanny. Put him on his fanny.
A couple of people, actually a lot of people in my Survivor pool have the Chiefs. So I'm hard
root
on the Commanders.
Root for the upset. All right, well, stick around. You got another hour of Russo and Rizzo with the fifth quarter starting up. After this, we'll get into some of the best bets from the weekend, get into what we saw from over the weekend, the NFL side of things, get into a little Game 3 of the World Series, which is tonight. That's all to come. Another hour of Russo and Rizzo at the fifth quarter with Hard Rock Bet. Coming up after this, Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt saying so long. We'll see you in a couple minutes right here on ESPN 106.3.